You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Good morning. I am Sheila. I'm Bert's wife for some of you I haven't met yet. It's my turn today in our stewardship. I'm more than Bert's wife. I'm the mother of children, and I'm like an independent woman. My identity is not just in who I'm married to, but just so you can relate to who is she. I get to do part four of our stewardship series, and I'm really excited about that. I've been enjoying the messages so far, good reminders, each one of them about all that God has entrusted to us and how God wants us to manage and be responsible for that. Today, stewardship, we're talking about mind and body. And I have to be honest with you that when I sat down to do this, I thought we could talk about this for a year. Well, maybe you couldn't, but I could talk about this for a year. This is something I've thought about a lot in the last number of years. I've faced new challenges in regard in my own life of this area of stewardship, stewarding my physical body, stewarding my mind, taking good care of it. In fact, in the last number of years, in comparison to the other topics of time and talent, of money and possessions, this has been the area where I've been challenged the most. So I get to share a few little bits of that journey with you today. And I trust there's something for each of us. So where are we going? We're going to talk about some really broad things about our mind and our body. And then we're going to focus in on two particular topics because I have 30 minutes. So we're going to start broad and we're going to zoom on into two particular things. Two things that I think are really, as pastors, when we get up here and we talk, we want to speak about things that seem just really relevant to who we are and where we are in Toronto in 2017. Things that will help us. But as we're talking about stewardship, we're also talking about what things that where God helps us that we can actually take those things and help somebody else. So I hope today that this is one of those things. By way of review, each week, as we've looked at the idea of stewardship, we've considered four principles. The first one, everything I have, including my body and my mind, is a gift from God. The second is I am responsible to manage, to develop, to maintain, to increase, to use faithfully everything that God's given me. I'm supposed to pass this along to others. I'm supposed to use what I have and what I've gained, not just for myself, but for the benefit of those around me. And as Bert likes to say, this is going to be on the test. This is going to be on the final. In other words, there's going to be accountability. One day when we stand before God, we will be able to stand before God because of what Christ did. But the one question God will ask of us is, what did you do with what I placed in your hand? God has given each one of us a body and a mind, and they're things we get to steward. So stewardship. The word stewardship is not common in our vocabulary. It's a bit of an old-fashioned sort of word. Here's a great definition of stewardship as it pertains to us in our faith journey. A biblical worldview of stewardship can be defined as utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. Utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. God's provided each one of us with a body, our human dwelling place, with a mind, and all the resources necessary to manage our health for the glory of God and the betterment of creation, the betterment of one another. Our scripture verse today, as we open, is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray as we begin. Father, we do desire to present to you our bodies to be good stewards. Help us, we pray, in the transformation of our minds. Let our hope not be in our abilities, but in the God who is on our side, the one who fights with us and for us in every area of life. You care about our health. May we be filled with the hope that in your grace and goodness, you'll provide for us and help us. In Jesus' name. So let's talk about the body. We're going to start there. Even though the screen said mind and body, I'm going to do body and mind. So let's talk about the body. When we think of being good stewards of the body, it is the month of January. And most likely in January, when you think of your body, you think of diet and exercise. Because typically we make New Year's resolutions and they usually have something to do with diet and exercise. Oh, it might be I'm going to read more books or I'm going to be kinder to my brother. But often we make some kind of resolution about being healthier this year. And usually now it's the 29th of January. So very likely that resolution fell by the wayside about 2 weeks ago. So we might sit here and get lost in our own guilty thoughts about things like diet and exercise, and it's not that we don't know the importance of those things. We do. We know. We know from friends. We know from television. We know from what we learned at school. We know from books we read or try not to read. We know the importance of diet and exercise. In fact, in this century, in our lifetime, everything's on at your fingertips. Anything you want information about, any diet to lose weight, any advice about healthy eating, any advice about exercise, we just get on our computers and we Google and it's there at our fingertips. I was in a thrift store the other day and there's shelves and shelves full of books, self-help, healthy living books, probably never been read. Somebody bought that book on healthy living because it seemed like a really good idea and they had good intentions. But if you ever want one, don't buy it new. Go to the thrift store. Because we have good intentions and we know the things that we should do to look after our bodies. In fact, from the time I was a little girl, we grew up with this thing called, and that was a long time ago, right? You're all saying that. Everybody under 30 is going, yeah, and she was a little girl a really long time ago. We grew up with this thing called the Canada's Food Guide, which I have a picture of. There it is, a Canada's Food Guide. And we had to be able to draw the little pictures in school in our health class and write in all the categories and fill in the blanks. And I've had information about healthy living since I was about 6 years old. Have I done it? We won't necessarily go there. You might not have grown up in this country. Well, I found another one. How about, over the years, the Filipino food guides? You too have had food guides that you've probably seen and learned about and looked at in school. It's not that we don't have information. It's just for most of us, we have trouble doing what we know we should. There are areas of stewardship of our body and mind that at first glance, maybe we think the Bible doesn't address, but we're going to dig into it. And here's what we do know. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." Sanctify, that means like set you aside. Sanctify you completely. Where? How? "And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here it is in the Message version, just because I liked it, and it's good. "May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ." So God, the God of peace, one of the purposes he has in life is to set us apart. Not just our spirit or our soul or the inside things, but even with reference to the body that he gave us to live in. This weekend, for all of you hockey fans, I am a hockey fan. This is the National Hockey League's All-Star Weekend. I bet you have all been, maybe not. So it was, yes, a Friday night. They honored the best 100 hockey players, anyway, in the 100 years of hockey. And last night it was the skills competition where they just got to show off the stuff that they were good at. And today they're going to play some hockey games, just the best of the best right now, all-star games. Well, I want to put up a picture of a famous Canadian hockey player. I know we don't usually put up pictures of men who don't have shirts on in church, but I want to know if anybody in this room, other than Bert and maybe Joel, because I told him, knows who this man is. Oh, you saw my notes. That's not fair. So this is Bobby Hall. Bobby Hall is one of the top 100 hockey players of all time. He does not look like this anymore. He's kind of chubby and overweight and old. However, he played from the 50s, 60s, even up until 1980. He had a super long career. And he gained his physique not by steroids or working out in the gym or having a personal trainer. But if you could see this entire picture, he is actually pitching hay on his family farm. Why the heck did I put this picture up here? Well, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about exercise. In fact, I can only find one reference. Bodily training is of some value. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, you can get rid of Bobby Hull and put the scripture verse up. There we go. Bodily training is of some value, but godliness is of value in every way. So bodily training, some versions say bodily discipline, some say physical training, but godliness is of a value in every way, so I'm not really giving you an excuse not to exercise. Don't go out and say, okay, I can just be godly and I don't have to look after my body, because it doesn't say that. But we also, when we read the Bible, we've got to take into account the original readers, listeners, the people who the Bible, who the stories are being told about. Get out of our 21st century thinking and look back to a society and a time where our concept of exercise that we know is good for us, that we know medically we need to do, life was different. Life was not sedentary. So it wasn't necessarily something God would have to address because people walked everywhere they went and most labor was manual. And when we looked at Bobby Hall, who was pitching hay, and that's how he got to be in shape to play hockey, we realized that in a different time, in a different land, in hundreds of years before now, life was physical. And in fact, it wasn't that we needed to get too much exercise. We probably needed to get enough food to sustain us through all the physical things that we needed to do. But now here we are, 21st century, and we need to exercise. We need to look after our bodies. Interestingly enough, most of the categories today that we think about when we think about stewarding our bodies are not addressed specifically. But I want to just take a broad view and we can look and see that God really was concerned about the physical health and well-being of his people, even from the beginning of the nation of Israel. Consider, and I'm not going to put up any of these, I'm just going to talk about them in broad strokes, but in the books like Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, the books that most of us don't read in the Bible very often because they're kind of slow and they drag on and a little overwhelming and there's lots of rules and regulations, but if you can break some of them down in categories, the laws of Moses show us an amazing thing about God's concern about us as physical human beings. There were dietary laws. There were personal hygiene laws. Dietary laws, don't eat this, do eat that. Personal hygiene laws. You know, if you touched a dead animal, you were supposed to wash your hands. There were sanitation laws. This is a little nasty, but there were laws and rules that God gave his people about where you were to bury human excrement. Now, we know now in developing nations that that can be an issue if what's coming out of you is getting into things like your drinking water. Well, far before we knew these things scientifically, God made laws and plans and preparations and gave direction to his people to look after their health. How about quarantine laws? far long before anyone knew about bacteria and viruses, God said when a certain sickness shows up, here's what you need to do for 7 days or 10 days. And you would quarantine, you would stay away from the person who was sick. So far long before there was understanding of why these things, God was protecting his people. They had rules that other nations in the time did not have. In fact, the laws that protected the health of his people seemed to be just like the wisdom of it was centuries before their time. It wasn't until the last 100, 150 years that scientists could go, yeah, there's a really good reason to bury human excrement far from where people live. The health benefits that have been scientifically proven in the last number of years. And here's what Exodus said. It's interesting. Interesting verse. God said, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes or rules and regulations, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. Now, some of that is just if we do what God says, God's going to look after it. But now we can step back and look and say, but even some of the laws that affected the health and well-being of God's people, in a very practical sense, if you keep his statutes, you won't get the diseases, the things that plagued other nations, so to speak. God cared about the health and well-being and welfare of his people. So that's a little bit on exercise. We touched on dietary stuff. We're not going to go into all that because I think today in Toronto, when I sat back and I looked at what two things really seem to plague us, I'm going to talk about two things. The first one I'm going to talk about is sleep. And the second one I'm going to talk about is stress. And I think if we're good stewards of our body, we're going to have to master and manage our sleep. And we're going to have tools. Because even as Bert was exhorting us today about, there can be chaos and pressure around us that we might not be able to go away. But God wants something within us, something deep within our hearts and our souls to be able to stand in his faith and his goodness and be healthy and whole. Let's talk first about sleep. I think we wear our sleeplessness, our tiredness, as a badge of honor. Now, last week, Richard said we wear our busyness as a badge of honor, and I think they go hand in hand. I think we wear our fatigue. I think we wear our lack of sleep. So how was your week? Busy. And how are you? Tired. Well, I think that it's an area where, for the sake of our health, God has a couple of things for us to learn. You know, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot, but again, if we look back in history, they weren't plagued by some of the things that keep us awake at night. No electricity, no computers, no internet, no late night movies, no iPad, no cell phone beside the bed, no street lights shining in your bedroom window. I used to use this scripture verse on my roommates long before Bert and I were married, because sometimes they would stay up later than me. And completely out of context, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, those who sleep do their sleeping at night. And I could yell out my bedroom door, go to bed, the Bible says, those who sleep do their sleeping at night. Well, those who sleep did do their sleeping at night, because what were you going to do in the dark? Even when I was a kid, TV shut off, I know. TV shut off. It ended at 11 o'clock at night. They played the national anthem, and there was no more television. There still was electricity, but So I was thinking, as I'm thinking about the sun going down and how much that dictated people's life and how much now that everything is at our fingertips really can mess with our sleep. There's a Kenny Chesney song, True Confessions. I like Kenny, country music, okay, if you don't know who Kenny Chesney is, well. When the sun goes down, we'll be grooving. When the sun goes down, we'll be feeling all right. This was in my head, stuck in my head all week. It's not a great song. It's about partying. But, you know, when the sun goes down, in ancient history, people went to bed, and they slept. Not so now, not so. And yet we know, if we Google it, the essentials of sleep. In fact, I Googled it for you. I Googled it for you, and I found an article from Harvard University. And in the Western world, if Harvard says it, we're going to embrace it. So the Harvard Women's Health Watch suggests 6 reasons to get enough sleep. I'm not telling you something that you probably don't know. Well, maybe a few of them. Learning and memory, metabolism and weight, safety, mood, cardiovascular health, and disease. Learning and memory. Sleep helps us commit things, information, to memory. You know, sometimes, have you ever heard somebody say they're trying to figure something out and they say, I'll sleep on it? Well, actually, things happen when you're sleeping. And sometimes you'll wake up and you'll actually have the solution to that problem because your mind is still working. So learning and memory, metabolism and weight. Sleep deprivation can cause weight gain, which none of us want, right? Right. Well, maybe some of us do, but because it messes with the way our bodies store carbohydrates. I'm not an expert, but I can read. And I don't want my carbohydrates messed with. Safety. So we hear stories about plane crashes and automobile accidents and truck drivers going off the road because they haven't had enough sleep. How about mood? If you have little kids, if you've ever been around little kids who haven't had enough sleep, they can be irritable and cranky and moody. And wait, so can I be around me when I haven't had enough sleep. Cardiovascular health. We know that sleep disorders can affect things like hypertension and stress and hormone levels and irregular heartbeat. And we don't want this stuff, right? We want to look after our bodies. Why? Because we have a stewardship. God's given us this body to live in. There are seasons in life when sleep is challenged. There are, no doubt about it. I had 4 children. When you have babies, your sleep gets messed with. When you have kids, your sleep gets messed with. When you have teenagers sometimes, especially if they can drive and go out at night, sleep gets messed with. But you know, and students, you know, it's you left that paper till the end and you really do have to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning to send it in by 9 a.m. There are seasons in life beyond a doubt that our sleep gets messed with. But if this is the habitual pattern of our life, then it's going to wear away at our physical health. Here's a proverb. If you lie down, Proverbs 3:24 says, if you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. It sounds really good, doesn't it? And yet, you know, I said there's seasons in my life when I had trouble sleeping, when my sleep was disturbed because I had 4 children, and lots of other things. You know, sometimes you switch time zones. Anyway, on and on we go. But I also had seasons in my life, serious seasons of my life. You know, it says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Well, I could substitute other words in there. I could substitute words like anxiety and worry and fear and stress. And for me, some of my most sleepless years weren't because I had small children. It was because worry and anxiety would either keep me awake, wake me up in the middle of the night, or this is a really good one. Wake up in the morning and I'm anxious and I haven't even had a chance to think what on earth I'm anxious about, but I feel stressed from the moment I open my eyes. And yet, I think God's desire for us when we lie down, we won't be afraid. Our sleep will be sweet. There's lots of really good and practical tips for sleeping well at night. And I've tried them all, and some of them really help. Like sleep in a really dark room and keep the room temperature, you know, nice and cool. And my friend Linda gave me this. Little did she know that I actually sleep with a mask on every night. I know, crazy, crazy woman. But you know, they say the darker the room is, the better your sleep is. So I was trying to sleep, so I tried them all. And really, some of them help. I'm not mocking any of these. I still sleep with my mask on. But even with all the techniques, limiting caffeine and alcohol and doing relaxing things before you go to bed and not watching television to fall asleep, not having screen time for about 30, you know, there's lots of tips out there. And yet, for a lot of us, we got to dig down. into the reasons, the true reasons for our sleeplessness. And this is my story. All techniques will do, they'll help. But unless we get down to the thing that wakes us in the night or keeps us awake, which brings me to the stewardship of the mind. So we looked at the scientific understanding of the laws of Moses as we transition into the mind. We looked at the scientific understanding of Moses' laws, how, you know, there were God laid out some things to protect his people that really up until the last century we didn't really understand why those benefited us. In fact, before the 19th century, illnesses were only diagnosed by what they manifested on the skin. So if there was pus, a doctor would do one thing, and, you know, they'd drain blood from people trying to cure them, and you've probably read these things in school. And but it changed when scientists discovered stuff called bacteria, that diseases were caused by bacteria. And then beyond that, somebody could say, well, then maybe there's a way that we can do something about that bacteria. And you saw the progression in science of antibiotics and how many lives are saved today in developed and even in developing nations because we understand where sickness comes from. Well, in the late 20th century, as again, scientists and doctors and medical professionals, they were starting to look. We had the technology to look and to understand not just some of the physical things like the chemical makeup of, you know, germs and bacteria, but we got to a place where scientists could actually look and see what happens in our physical body when we're under stress, or when we've suffered trauma, or when we're plagued by anxiety. We like to think our body's one thing, and our mind somehow is this other thing. And yet, what we've seen is, and what we should know, God made us all one thing, and like my brain is actually part of my physical body. But what we can see now is that things like when there's anxiety, there's certain chemical stuff that gets triggered in my brain. And some hormones rise up that, you know, and release too much of. Here's one, cortisol. So cortisol is really good. God put it there for a reason. It's supposed to help us and help us when we're in danger. It like helps us do things like fight or flight. So when we need to protect ourselves or when we need to flee a situation, our body releases cortisol. But the problem with stress is that our body releases way too much cortisol. And then things start to break down, like your cardiovascular system and like your autoimmune system. And I'm not an expert on any of this, but what I do know is I want, by the grace of God, to learn to come before God with the things that plague me, that worry me, that get inside my mind, that don't just affect my thoughts, but those thoughts actually have physical reproductions and the repercussions in the health of my body and yours. Well, oh, I just have to put this up. Just one word. Look at this. So in the development of all these scientific developments of the previous century, how about this? New areas of science, new fields of study have emerged. And I just have to put this one up because I like the word. Psychoneuroimmunology. I had to practice that. The study of the effect of the mind on the health and our resistance to disease. And when I look at all this stuff and I read it and I realize that so many centuries before when the word of God was penned, that now the things that scientists are being able to say, hey, look at this, the way things happen in your mind affect your health, all I can do is stand up and maybe even bow down and look at my Lord and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So even before we could understand these things scientifically, Psalm 139 said this, you, God, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. And as science starts to unfold things to us, even in the areas of health, even in the areas of things that we don't maybe like to talk about, like how stress affects my physical body, we see that we're fearfully and wonderfully made and that God knows us in and out. And And now we get to steward that body and that mind that he's given to us. So there's a lot of really good scriptures that we could memorize and we could put on a fridge magnet or a wall plaque that talk about things like our anxiety, worry, and stress. And I'm going to fly through a few of them. You can just leave that one up there because I didn't give him all of these. Okay, therefore, be anxious. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for today will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, each today has enough trouble. Don't worry about tomorrow. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Oh, wait. The Apostle Paul is saying to us, don't be anxious about things. Don't worry. Don't stress. It sounds really good, doesn't it? We want to embrace these things. Here's one of my personal favorites, because here's what anxiety does. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me. So what anxious thoughts don't add, they multiply, you know, kind of exponentially. Like 2 times 2 is 4, and 4 times 4 is 16, and 16 times 16 is 120. Never mind. I lost myself. But anxiety multiplies within us. Stress multiplies. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. More than a plaque, more than a fridge magnet, more than just a nice verse to write on the front of something. This is the truth of the Word of God. Before we could scientifically look and see how stress, worry, and anxiety affect our health and our physical body, God said, here's what I want for you. I want you to understand that you can cast your cares upon me. I want you to come to the place where your anxieties, they don't multiply within you because I'm the one who cares for you. I think this is a lifelong battle. I would love to say, and now I've done it, and you can do it too. I think this is a lifelong battle. When people describe themselves as being stressed, they usually mean nervous agitation they experience under excessive demands. Work, family, relationships, finances, health, workplace. You know, in Toronto, if the pressure, and Rich talked about some of this with our time, the pressure that's on us to carry that cell phone from work 24/7. And we know that in a city like this, if you are, it doesn't matter what your job is, there's 10 people lined up behind ready to take your job if you feel like, you know, oh, I there's so much pressure to be consumed by my job. Oh, but there's other people ready and willing to take it. There is pressure in the workplace. There's pressure in school. You know, high school students, you know, you can look at the universities you want to go to and you know what your high school resume has to be like to be able to get into those places. Financial pressures. My goodness, it's expensive to live that here. We hear that all the time. We know that. And yet there's pressures to do, maybe to keep up with the neighbors, maybe to get a new car, maybe because you overspent and your credit card is in a place where it shouldn't be. There's financial pressures upon us. As parents, and even as children, there are family pressures. As parents, we worry about our kids. I'd like to say I always trusted the Lord with my kids. No, it's been a struggle and a battle. And sometimes you hear things that are challenging to you in the lives of your children. Stress, that common things, but it is us and it is our world. So our message today, stewardship of body and mind. To have healthy bodies, yes, we need to eat well and we need to exercise and we need to be hygienic and we need to, take care of disease and we need to do all that stuff, but we need to cast all our cares upon God. We need to manage our stress, our anxiety. I'm going to just And just telling you a little bit, I said I had trouble with sleep, stress and sleep. So I had sleepless nights from 2007 till 2015. That's a really long time. And I was under a lot of stress, and I started to gain a lot of weight. Not now, but prior to this, I started to have things in my body. Now, I am getting a little older, and so I'm at a higher risk for some things, but my blood pressure and my cholesterol and my knees were aching, and I didn't want knee replacement surgery. And I knew that it was the pressure and the stress that I wasn't doing the right stuff with between me and God. When Bert and I got married, our scripture was Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also freely give us all things? That's how we started our married life together. The one who saved us was going to give us everything we need. And what would it look like to steward at this stage of my life, my physical body? Well, three significant things happened. And one of them was, out of the blue, a friend of ours. Some of you have met him. He's preached here. His name's Gary. And Gary has a gift from God that God speaks to his heart, things for other people. And Gary sent Bert a text message on July the 15th, 2015, about my sleep. Gary didn't know I didn't sleep at night. And he said, I believe this is an area that God wants to heal in your life. And you know what that said to me? It didn't happen overnight. But you know what it said to me? It reminded me that there's a God who cares about every aspect of my physical being. I had to take the stress journey and learn more and more to cast things on God. But you know what? I sleep at night now. Stress and weight gain. A year ago, I was in the shower, and I was complaining to the Lord. I can't call it praying because I was complaining to the Lord about my weight. I said, God, I need help because this is not good for my physical body. And seriously, I had this, and I just felt like God said, don't eat bread. Now, that would be like telling an Asian not to eat rice. And yet I went, I can do this. And I've barely eaten bread in the last year, and it was easy. And I'm not telling you that's the way you need to lose weight if you need to lose weight. But what I'm saying is God cared enough for me to put something, drop something in my heart and soul that actually worked. And I was still taking the stress journey, you know, learning to cast more things upon God. But he also cared enough to give me a way to help me with my health. How about this one? So 2017, I am running out of time. 2017. We always start the year with prayer and fasting, and I ask the Lord every year for a Bible verse, and this year he didn't give me one. But he dropped a thought in my head about lifting my burdens. Now, I was a little, because it wasn't a Bible verse, but that was a Friday morning of our week that we prayed and fasted together, and then Friday night we went and we met together, a bunch of us, or about 30-odd of us, praying together at our hub, our office. And we were breaking into little groups and praying for one another. And Grace goes, I feel like this year the Lord really is going to lift your burdens from you. Now, burdens is another just nice packaged way to say stress. That God was going to help me in the areas where I hold on to things that he wants me to cast my cares upon him. So then I said, okay, Lord, it's not a Bible verse, but you said it and Grace confirmed it. And you love me enough to remind me of the things that you want to do for us. God can do that in you. Oh, there's lots of practical things for dealing with stress. I've learned to take some time every day and breathe. You know, most of us don't breathe like we should. And anything you read on stress says take some time to breathe. You know, when you're in the doctor's office and she says, take a deep breath, and she puts a stethoscope on you, and all of a sudden you've forgotten how to breathe, right? Like, who can breathe on command? There's things, here's a good one. As I close, I've said that before. One of the things that even secular psychologists recommend in dealing with stress is at least once a week, get together and sing with other people. I went, hey, we've got that one down. We do that every Sunday morning from about 10:32 till about 11 o'clock. Simple things, but things that bring peace to our, who knows, bring peace and comfort and do something on the inside of us. Camille's laughing. So 2017, a year, let's work together to steward, yes, our physical body, but let's work together to steward what goes on in our mind. And here's my challenge for each of you. You know, the Bible says to bear one another's burdens. And often the things that cause us stress and anxiety, we keep them so tucked down on the inside of us. The Bible says, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another that you can be healed. Confess your faults, sins, whatever the word. You know, when I'm anxious, I'm actually like not trusting God. And yeah, that kind of falls in that category that we might call sin. So talk to somebody. Open up your lives. We're talking about stewarding things together. Open our lives and our hearts to one or two or a few close people. You don't have to tell everybody your problems, but let somebody know. Let somebody in. Don't go through life alone. God didn't make us to go through life alone. Talk to one another. Pray for one another. January 25th was Bell's Let's Talk Day. I don't know how you could have missed this. You probably didn't on your Facebook stream and billboards and TV ads. The day that Canada talks about mental illness. Not all of us are depressed and suffering from mental illness, but I think the thing is that when there is pressure and stress and depression in our lives, open up our lives. God said it first. Confess to one another, pray for one another, and you'll be healed. Our closing prayer. I want to go back to the scripture we started with. I want to speak this over us as a prayer. Here it is, Romans 12:1 in the Message version of the Bible. Romans 12:1. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.